Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Mark Kennelly. He's the Golf Ireland CEO. You're very welcome to the programme, Mark. How are you?
Thank you, Bobby. Delighted to be here.
Now, we'll talk about golf and Golf Ireland and it's the organisation in a bit. But let's talk a little bit about Mark Kennelly, the man. You're a very proud Kerry man. Your father, Colm, we all know an All-Ireland winning footballer. So, and I think GAA, politics, lots of those things embedded in your family as a young lad.
For sure, Bobby. Yeah, so as you say, I'm a proud Kerry man, grew up in Killarney, went to school in Killarney.
Brendan's, obviously, yeah.
St. Brendan's College, yeah. Had 6 wonderful years there. You know, grew up in a GAA household where, you know, my dad had been multi-All-Ireland medal winner in the early 1950s. He emigrated actually at the age of 23 to British Guyana. So my elder sister Shirley was actually born out there.
Wow.
So he had qualified as an engineer at Trinity College in the early 50s, which was a big deal for somebody from a Catholic background at the time. And as we all know, there was a huge recession in the 50s, so not much work for engineers. So what was then British Guyana was gaining its independence, and as part of that deal, there was a big investment in infrastructure. So he got a job there as an engineer, which actually made his subsequent career because he gained so much experience in 4 years there. But that was the end of his football career in 1956.
Wow, that's great.
When he moved home, then he switched to golf and was very involved in our local club in Killarney.
And just about that, it's called the Killarney Golf and Fishing Club. Golf and fishing aren't two things that one would normally associate a collaborative.
Not normally, Bobby, but in our case, we're really privileged that our club is on the shores of the Lower Lake in Killarney. So we've always had that tradition of fishing members and golf members. And in fact, recently, as part of a redevelopment, the fishing lagoon has been upgraded recently. And I see the club are now inviting new fishing members to join. And you can obtain
So they can coexist.
They coexist, and lots of people do both. So it's a long tradition in Killarney that the club has covered both.
That's
activities.
Great. On your own career, Mark, you obviously went, you studied public administration in the University of Limerick. Then it was off to Brussels as a policy researcher in the EU Parliament. You were a policy advisor then at the Fine Gael Leader's Office. You ultimately became the Chief of Staff to Enda Kenny, the Taoiseach. That's over a number of years, obviously, all that. But
that was over
a very interesting career projection.
Yeah, a 25-year career in politics and not part of any great plan. I mean, I did develop an interest in public affairs and politics in my teenage years, and that's led me to go down that path of study in UL. You know, I had a really wonderful time in Limerick. I'm still involved with the university. I sit on the foundation board there, so I have a great affinity with both Limerick and UL. And my original plan actually was an internship in the European Commission. And that turned into 5 years working in the Parliament at a really exciting time because I started there in 1990, graduated from college on a Friday in September 1990, attended the All-Ireland football final on a Sunday and flew to Brussels on Monday. And
what a weekend.
Five very happy years. It was just after the Berlin Wall had come down in 1989. So it was a really interesting and exciting time in European politics as the democratization of the countries of Eastern Europe began. So very interesting times. And when you see what's going on in Ukraine now and how different that is to the countries who were enabled to join the ex-Soviet countries.
Yeah.
So a lot of interesting parallels there. But that was really, I gained a lot of, valuable experience, a lot of understanding about how, the European system works. And I think that really stood to me and it was a big advantage to me actually subsequently.
And did you, obviously politics was front and central when you were working for those years with Enda Kenny again. Yeah. at the top of his game. You were right in the forefront of a lot of, I'm sure, big decisions. Saw lots of things happening on your watch, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fascinating time. I mean, Enda was elected Taoiseach for the first time in March 2011, which was just after the country had entered the bailout. So it was a real low point for the country economically. So on one level, it was a very daunting task to be involved centrally in that government, which had, you know, been given the mandate really to try and lift the country out of that economic crisis. And it was a really, you know, challenging but very rewarding time. I mean, even though it didn't reflect in economic data for a number of years, very early on we saw the early signs that recovery was possible. Very hard to communicate it at the time, because when people, it was a very, very tough time.
Lots of
people lost their jobs and lots of people were in negative equity. But we, you know, I suppose had the advantage of being, you know, a new government with a new mandate. We didn't have to think about how we got there. It was all about how we
sorted out.
And we had a really, you know, strong partnership in those years with the Labour Party, who really, I would say, stepped up to the plate in a huge way at the time.
You know,
because lots of unpopular decisions had to be made in the interests of, you know, restoring economic sovereignty in the first place, and then, you know, back to growth. And
how quickly we forget.
I think even though lots of people were hurting at the time, I think there was also a lot of realism in Ireland. People knew, you know, that we were going to have a rough few years to get out of this. And, you know, in retrospect, you know, it's remarkable how quickly the country did recover.
Sure.
By 2014, we had the fastest growing economy in the European Union just 3 years later.
Yeah. Let's move on to golf. You're the CEO of Golf Ireland now. How did you come to take that job, or how did it come about?
Well, Bobby, I mean, I had decided, you know, because Enda Kenny had indicated at the beginning of his second term that that would be his last, so, you know, I made my own...
Go down with the ship.
Exactly, my own personal decision that while I was young enough to do something different, I wanted to. You know, I had 25 years in the political and government arena, which, you know, was an absolute privilege, and to be part of that was a huge privilege, but I wanted to have the opportunity. I didn't have any clear plan, no more than I did at the beginning, but, you know, the opportunity came up. I had been doing some kind of strategic advisory work, mainly for international clients, for a couple of years after leaving government, and I really enjoyed that, but it wasn't particularly challenging, to be honest, and this opportunity came along. You know, other than being a lifelong member of my own, the Golf and Fishing Club, as you correctly term it, in Killarney since my childhood, I had no background in golf administration. My dad, though very involved in the club, had never got into, you know, the politics of golf or administration.
And this was an interesting time, was it not? Because Golf Ireland was a new organisation which was really bringing male and female golf together as one body.
Yeah, exactly. So the administration of golf, though always done on an all-Ireland basis, the men's and women's unions, you know, had a huge legacy, but they had been separate for 135 years. And obviously, like all walks of life, all sports, you know, the trend has been towards amalgamation. So the member clubs in 2019 had voted overwhelmingly to wind up their operations and create a new single governing body. And I was recruited as part of that process to help to make that a reality. And that's really what attracted me, you know, a big new project.
Yeah.
I was also very attracted to the all-Ireland dimension of it. So it was...
And can you give us the stats, Mark? How many people are playing golf in Ireland? How many golf courses have we got? How big is it for tourism? Give us the headline stats.
Yeah, I mean, golf is significant and growing. I mean, we had a big jump in membership arising from the pandemic because, you know, there was a new enthusiasm for, you know, what were considered safe, non-contact physical activities. We have the huge advantage of being a lifelong sport, which, you know, not every sport has.
Yeah.
So at the moment, and we're seeing rapid growth actually in the current year to date, we have over 230,000 club members.
230,000, wow.
In almost 400 clubs, and between them, they have well over 450 golf courses, because many clubs have two and sometimes even three courses. But in addition to that, and this is very significant for the future, and we measure this on a quarterly basis, we have an additional 350,000 people who play what we call traditional full-length golf at least once a year.
Right.
So if you add the two together, you're at more or less 10% of the population.
And do we punch above our weight in European terms? I assume we do.
Oh, I mean, per capita, we punch above our weight by any international comparison. So, you know, golf is a big sport here. We're definitely, you know, it depends on how you measure it, and we're not in the business of comparing ourselves to other sports, but we're definitely in the top three in terms of participation.
Sure.
And then when you add in what we call total golf engagement, so there are people who may not be, you know, regular golfers, but they go to a driving range or a par three course or pitch and putt, you're up at over 800,000 people. So it's really significant.
It's significant, yeah.
I mean, in terms of the economic impact, just in June of this year, we published a detailed economic study, which was carried out on our behalf by the Sheffield Hallam University. And that showed that the economic impact of golf had more than doubled in a 9-year period.
Wow.
So creating a gross value added of over 700 million, a consumer spend of over 700 million, supports directly 15,000 jobs and contributes 227 million a year to government tax revenue.
Long may that last.
And we it's very hard to get very accurate figures, but we estimate, and Fault Ireland estimate, about a quarter of a million incoming tourists who come here primarily to play golf.
And they're high-value tourists.
They're high-value. They spend three or four times as much as the leisure visitor.
Yeah.
And we have, and it's really a testament to our community, you know, virtually all of the top tourist destinations for golf were built by the membership.
Yeah.
Virtually all member-owned golf clubs that have been developed over, in many cases, for, you know, over a century. And, you know, we have over 60 links courses are called true links courses in Ireland, so it's over a quarter of those that exist globally. So in terms of that product, we have a really wonderful product in Ireland, and, you know, attracts a lot of people.
Sure. And then just finally, we've a lot to look forward to, because we've got the Walker Cup in 2026 and the Ryder Cup in 2027. How centrally involved are you in all those?
I mean, we're very involved and very engaged with government about making sure that those events, which are going to be huge for Ireland, leave a lasting legacy, so that we turn, you really, really turn the dial on participation, have more women and girls, more people from underrepresented groups participating in golf. So we're doing huge work in schools now. We've been to almost 400 schools in the last year alone. So we're getting a lot of support from governments, both north and south, and building that legacy to make sure that when these events come and go, and they will, of course, have a huge economic impact in their own right, but that they leave a lasting legacy, and that the golf landscape of Ireland has changed as a result.
Sounds like a great job, Mark Kennelly. Thanks for joining
us
today.
Thank you, Bobby. Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great to hear you, and really exciting stuff. So keep doing what you're doing.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.